Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But we'll have to find common ground to pass legislation that... Now, let me just say this. They have spent... the Fed has spent trillions of dollars bolstering the stock market. We think we should spend trillions of dollars bolstering the American
middle class. Madam Secretary.
So Nancy Pelosi is ready to spend trillions of dollars, as if they didn't just spend trillions of dollars trying to bolster the economy and the middle class. I can't wait to have my conversation every week here with Stephen Moore, a visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. And I give you Nancy Pelosi and her inherent need to spend the money that she takes out of my pocket and your pocket and the listener's pocket. What do you think about the speaker's plan there to bolster the economy?
Well, Annie, good to be with you again. The speaker's plan, which is $3 trillion, is catastrophic for the economy. It would increase one of the things that would do, which would be very negative, is it would expand these and extend these unemployment benefits. And we all want to help people that are unemployed, Annie. We have a system in place called the unemployment insurance system. But under the Pelosi plan, 3 out of 4 workers are going to get paid more for not going back to work than going back on the job. That will prevent us from having a recovery. We cannot allow that to happen. We estimate that will cost the economy 8 to 10 million jobs if Pelosi prevails on that. So that's not a stimulus to the economy. It's a destimulus. It's preventing and discouraging people from going back to work. I think that... we ought to do the payroll tax cut instead, so that rewards people from going back to work. It rewards them in the form of a higher paycheck. I don't think there's anybody out there who would complain too much if they got a 7% increase in their paycheck next week. That's what everybody would get under that plan that Trump is promoting. So the next few weeks are going to be really critical in terms of whether they get this plan right or wrong. I actually think that the president's chances of getting reelected are heavily impacted by whether he gets this phase four plan right.
Stephen Moore, since you mentioned the unemployment benefit extra $600 a week, which is due to end at the end of this month, seeing, according to Forbes, that some Republicans are talking about a return to work bonus of $450 a week instead of the unemployment benefit. That makes no sense to me. Please explain.
Well, look, I support, as I just said, if I were the king and I could just wave a wand and put in place the right policies, you know what I would do? I would do the suspension of the payroll tax for the rest of the year for every one of the 20 million small businesses in this country and every worker in America. So you get that extra impetus to grow the economy, expand employment. And then I would provide a liability shield for every employer so they don't get sued by the trialers every time someone gets sick, or you're never going to get people back. You know, the trialers think they can win these multi-million dollar lawsuits every time someone gets coronavirus. And if that happens, you know, employers are never going to hire any more workers. So you got to provide a shield so that you can only recover if your employer acted in a negligent way. But if you just did those two things, we'd be fine. We'd be fine. We don't need to expand the unemployment insurance. We don't need to send everybody a $1,200 check. You know, that's called dropping $100 bills out of helicopter windows. And we, you know, on this issue of these bonus checks for going back to work, do I like the idea? No, I don't like the idea. But you know what? It's better to give people a bonus for going back to work than what Pelosi wants, which is a bonus for not going back to work.
Yeah, I, you know, I'm looking at some of these proposals that are being put out there. I guess the House passed a $1,200 per person in the House, up to $6,000 that would go out to people, I guess, with the same qualifications that the first stimulus went out. And then I saw that it was alleged that Mitch McConnell was saying, well, we'll cap it at people who make $40,000. I feel like no matter how you go about this, you're kind of valuing different kinds of workers in different ways. And I think that that's problematic for the Americans who are out of work right now. I want to help them, but I think that the way we help them is we get them back in their jobs. And the people who are working and who are making money, who are paying the taxes that are going to be funding all of these things, I find it very dangerous to be writing checks and handing out money to some people and not others, which is why I think your payroll tax cut is a great idea.
Well, you are exactly right, Annie. We cannot encourage people not to work. And that's what this, you know, I think maybe Pelosi is intentionally trying to undermine the American economy. Don't you? I mean, yeah. Why would she? Isn't it suspicious that she wants this policy in place through the end of January, right, you know, until after the election is over? And you know, so that we can get people back to jobs after the election. But you're so right about this. I mean, well, I didn't get a $1,200 check. You know, I work hard. My family works hard. Why don't we get money? But the people who aren't working do get $1,200. So I think we have to go. You know what the most important thing is? By far the most important thing? Open up the stores. Open up the economy. Stop this nonsense of lockdowns. I just put out a study. People can look at it on our Committee to Unleash Prosperity website. It shows unequivocally and undeniably that the states, you know what states have the strictest lockdowns?
Democratic really run states?
New York. Yeah. I'll name them for you. New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Illinois, Rhode Island. Yeah, what do all those states have in common? They have Democratic governors. Yeah. And guess what? Every single one of those states had very, very, very high rates of death from coronavirus. Whereas states that didn't shut down, states like Iowa, states like Missouri, states like North Dakota, states like Idaho, did not have high death rates. And by the way, even with what's happening in Florida and Arizona, where you're seeing a spike up in cases, their death rates are still one-tenth as high as they were in New York. And these liberals are running around saying we should be more like Andrew Cuomo in New York. I'm like, what are they talking about? New York has a 10 times higher rate than the vast majority of other states of death.
Stephen Moore, you mentioned that liability exemption. That's fascinating to me that Congress is going to take that on. Do you think there are businesses or maybe even full industries? I've talked to friends in the film industry who said they're not working at all because everybody's just waiting because everybody's afraid that they're going to get sued for coronavirus issues. Do you think that there are maybe even full industries who are waiting for that legislation to pass so that they can reopen?
Yeah. It's a big problem. I mean, I talk to employers all the time, and what employers are telling me, I mean, folks, these are people who hire workers. I know the liberals don't like employers because they think they're, quote, rich. But if you don't have employers, you don't have jobs, right? And what they're telling me is two things. Number one, they are very worried about the lawsuits that you were just talking about. You know, if somebody, you know, gets coronavirus, even if the employer isn't responsible, you know, the lawyers are going to slap them with a $5 million lawsuit. And the insurance company said, oh, just pay them $1 million and let make it go away. That's a huge cost to employers. But here's the other thing that's so amazing. I mean, and this shows how stupid our government is and the dumb things that we do when we have a crisis. So we now have 25 million unemployed Americans because of the lockdown of our economy, 25 million Americans out of jobs. But you know what employers are telling me? They can't find the workers to come back on the job. Mm. Now, why won't workers come back on the job? Because Nancy Pelosi insisted on a policy that pays 3 out of 4 workers more money to stay home. And by the way, how is that even fair to the heroes of the American economy, the people who are working? You know, the immigrants who are going, you know, working and doing the service jobs, and the people who are actually keeping the economy going, the people at companies like Amazon and FedEx, and the people who are delivering stuff, and the people who are working in the grocery stores, and the people who are collecting our garbage and keep our economy functioning. They're the heroes of the economy. And wait a minute, they're getting paid less than people who are sitting home?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And Americans see that. They know that it's ridiculous.
I think so, yeah.
I want to play this clip real quick from Jason Chaffetz talking about if Joe Biden were to get elected, his tax
intentions. What Joe Biden stands for is he wants to raise taxes. Believe him, he's going to raise your taxes. And he wants to expand government. He wants to grow government. The liberals, the Democrats, they believe that more government will solve more of our problems. And it's just a contraction of liberty. When you do that, it is fundamentally wrong. But it is exactly what they will do. And you should believe Joe Biden when he says, yeah, I'm going to raise your taxes and give you more government.
So I bet you agree with Jason Chaffetz, but I want to give you the opportunity to tell us, to what degree will Joe Biden affect the tax responsibility that each of us working folks will have if he were to get elected?
Yeah. So let me start by saying, you know, right before I got on your radio show this afternoon, I was doing a Zoom conference or a global conference on what's happening around the globe. And they asked me to talk about the United States, and somebody talked about, you know, what's happening in Latin America, and somebody else talked about Europe and Asia and so on. And what was so interesting about this is that if you look throughout history, when you have great economic booms around the world, remember, you and I are old enough to remember the Reagan-Thatcher boom when, you know, the United States elected Ronald Reagan, who believed in liberty and free markets, and Margaret Thatcher turned around Britain. And when that happened, the rest of the world went towards freedom. What worries me is that if we elect, by the way, you're not electing Joe Biden, you're electing the left in America, leftists. Yeah. Who do believe in much higher taxes and much bigger government. And not only will we absolutely cripple the American economy and cripple our own freedoms, but we'll be doing such a disservice to everyone around the planet because they take Americans' lead. In other words, what I'm saying, Annie, is if we go left, and I pray every night, I say my prayers, I can't even sleep at night thinking about how bad it will be if we allow these leftist mobs to take over our government, because that's what will happen. And not only will it cripple America's economy, it will cripple freedom and free markets around the world.
Yeah, we definitely have to get our hands around this and make sure that we are taking care of our country. And some of that, sometimes that means at the behest of who we elect in the government, because yep. The expansion of government has been for the last few decades has been a bipartisan problem, unfortunately.
But by the way, this is not going, just so people understand, I mean, Joe Biden is openly running. I mean, most of the time liberals, you know, lie about what they can do, and then they come in and raise taxes. Joe, I got to give him credit. He's not lying. He's telling us exactly what he's going to do. He's told us, if you own stock, you're going to get creamed. He's going to raise the capital gains tax by almost 50%. He's going to raise the tax on American companies, and that means the people who own the companies, which are the shareholders. He also wants to raise the estate tax by 40%. 40%, the death tax. We should get rid of the death tax. It's not fair to tax people when they die. And not only does he want to keep it, he wants to raise it by 40%. That will kill the stock market. This is very dangerous agenda. He wants to kill the oil and gas industry in the United States. He admits it. He's not beating around the bush, folks. Listen to what he is saying and question yourself. Say, is this going to be good? I can't think of one thing in his plan, Annie. One thing in his plan, which has, you know, 15 parts, that is good for the economy. Not one.
Yeah, and we will suffer and likely quickly. Thank you so much, Stephen. Thank you for coming on here. I want to encourage people to check out the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. Just looking at the website a little bit here, sounds like you got a lot of good partners there, and we're hoping for something positive.
Thank you for having me, Eddie. By the way, Eddie, I don't want to be a downer, because you know what? Donald Trump is going to win this election because the American people are not going to vote for the left-wing mob to take over our country. I really believe that.
That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Stephen Moore.
Okay.
The confidence that you give is definitely something I appreciate. Thank you so much.
We're going to have to work. We have to work, Anthony.
Yep, absolutely. And knowing the truth and knowing what's at stake is part of it. Stephen Moore, a visiting fellow at Heritage Foundation, also with Committee to Unleash Prosperity. Thank you for coming on here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Thomas DeVore is going to be on the show with us. Thomas DeVore is that lawyer who sued the governor, Governor Pritzker. I don't know if you've seen some of the regulations that the IHSA has put out for student athletes in the state of Illinois, but I have many people that are friends of mine, that are acquaintances of mine, that are very concerned about what is being relegated to these poor student athletes who are going to have to compete under some strict restrictions. I'll talk to Thomas DeVore about the action he's taking against the IHSA when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. Thanks for joining us. Just got done speaking with Stephen Moore about trying to get our economy back on track and, of course, what's at stake in November. If you missed that, check out the podcast. Just type in Andy Fry Show podcast in your search engine, or you can go straight to radio.com and subscribe to us there. It'd be great. I want to get our guest on here right away because I've got a lot of people who are asking me questions about Illinois sports and the IHSA restrictions that have been put out there, and some parents who are very concerned about what is in front of them. And Thomas, before I let you get going here, I'm going to read this straight from the IHSA.org website. It says, on Thursday, July 9th, 2020, the IHSA announced further restrictions are necessary as directed by IDPH and Governor Pritzker's office. The approved document with additional restrictions will be posted here as soon as we receive IDPH approval. We expect the new restrictions to include that students participating in physical activity outside while social distancing are not required to wear a mask, but masks are required for students participating in physical activity inside the school building. The changes will also eliminate scrimmages in sports that require physical contact, such as basketball, football, lacrosse, soccer, volleyball, water polo, and wrestling. Thomas DeVore is the attorney that worked with Darren Bailey to successfully sue the governor, and now he has a new thing in his sights. So, Thomas, tell me, what about this has you concerned, and what actions are you taking?
Well, one, I'm just finishing up right now a lawsuit against the Illinois High School Association and Mr. Anderson, the executive director, in his individual capacity. And I'm filing this as a parent. My children's mother and I are filing it together. We're not married anymore. We're filing it together on behalf of two of our three children who are student athletes. This, and I have the emails to prove it. This is by far the most egregious and gross overreach of government I have ever seen in my life. This is a private entity, the Illinois High School Association. One second. Kelly, I can't hear. This is a private organization. They are not a public body, the Illinois High School Association. They are governed by their constitution and their bylaws. The governor's office, the Illinois Department of Public Health, have no authority whatsoever to be dictating requirements on this private body. And that's exactly what they're doing. I've got the emails that will be attached to the complaint, and I believe the Edgar County watchdogs may have already produced some of them. Here's what happened.
Okay.
About July 3rd, give or take, the Sports Medicine Committee of the Illinois High School Association put together and produced their plan, and it was sent out to all the member schools on July 7th, approximately, or maybe the 3rd, somewhere between the 3rd and the 7th. It was sent out, and it laid out all kinds of health regulations. Now, I would suggest to you that all of those regulations in there are all merely guidance and recommendations.
Suggestions.
I would suggest that to you as a matter of law, and I further suggested to you that the executive director, when pushed by my superintendent on my behalf, admitted to him that they're recommendations. They have no authority to produce any of those things in that health plan. They have no intention of ever trying to enforce it or to fine any school. My superintendent is livid because they were sent to him under some color of authority that he was in, had to do that or could subject our children to being not allowed certain opportunities. And I have an admission from the executive director that says it's all a bunch of nonsense. One could ask, why did you prompt? Why did you want to ask me? Go ahead, Annie. I'm not kidding. I got the email.
I've read some of them, and we're going to post them here on – it's at Edgar County Watchdogs, but we're going to share them, too, with this interview. I want to ask you – I want to give you a very specific situation and tell me how somebody who's in this situation in the Metro East, somebody who I know personally, has a daughter who is going to be playing volleyball in her senior season. She has an asthma diagnosis. She carries around a rescue inhaler. It's well known that she has asthma, and she is being told that she is going to have to wear a mask while she plays volleyball. So the mother has contacted the school in the Metro East here and said, you know, I would like an exemption for this. I would like a medical exemption. The response that she got said, thank you for contacting me. I can certainly appreciate your concern. Unfortunately, right now, the only guidance we have is that if activities are inside, then all participants must be wearing a mask. So right now, the only options in regard to your concern would be to limit participation as needed. I'm leaving the school name out here, is not in a position right now to make any alterations to the expectation that a mask should be worn when inside. I will certainly let you know if that expectation would change or if we receive different information from the state or from the IHSA. So the athletic director at this school in the St. Louis Metro East area is saying that they have been directed from the state and the IHSA, and because of those directions, they have no medical exemptions available for this athlete. What does this mom need to do next? Because she's ready to fight for her daughter, the safety of her daughter and her daughter's ability to play. But where do these parents go right now?
You know, that's a good question. Before I answer that, let me tell you this. The Sports Medicine Committee of the Illinois High School Association does not condone the wearing of masks of children inside of a building. They never had a chance to give their opinion like they did on some of the other rules because Mr. Anderson, the executive director, didn't ask them. Moreover, the Illinois High School Association Board of Directors never voted on these mandates that the deputy governor of the governor's office sent an email that required them to add those things, and Anderson added them on his own under some color of authority. Now, that's the truth, and so this needs to come out, and hopefully when it comes out, some of these directors, when they see the email of Mr. Anderson that was sent to my superintendent, these men and women who are intelligent and have an obligation to their children can say, wait a second. I don't have to follow any of this. This is just recommendations, et cetera, and they'll do something. If not, the lawsuit that I'm filing in about an hour is going to file it on behalf of my children and all children in this state who are under this. Annie, this is the most ridiculous thing on the planet that I've ever dealt with in my life. And the people of this state and the school districts and anybody that has any ability to have any influence whatsoever needs to put an end to this. This, you know, the governor, and I'm speaking as a parent now, so I can freewheel a little bit more than when I'm representing a client. The governor has on time and time again been saying he's always looking for ways to create tools and enforcement. Those tools are no more than intimidation. And he is now wielding authority out of the executive branch to get private entities like the Illinois High School Association. And I don't know what kind of pressure he put on Mr. Anderson to get that done, but I'm going to find out. Because that's collusion, it's intimidation, and it's illegal. And this stuff has to come to an end. It's absurd, especially when the Illinois High School Association's own health committee says that's a horrible idea.
We're on the phone with Attorney Thomas DeVore, and he is taking action against the IHSA regarding some of the restrictions that are being put on athletes for the upcoming school year, athletic school year. So as I hear you say this, and correct me in any place where I got wrong, you're suggesting that the IHSA has put out these mandates, which is requiring mask wearing for any contact sports or anything that is indoors, for sure. I know there's a limit of 50 people at each sporting event, which would include the players and the coaches. So that's going to limit parent participation significantly. There are some other ones, but you're saying that the IHSA is basically doing what the governor's office has told him to do.
I'm basically telling you that the emails that you have, they are, the executive director is admitting that they're merely doing what the governor is telling them to do. And he also admits that his association has no authority whatsoever to make these rules. And I asked him the question, and he gave an honest answer. I'll give him that. And that they have no authority. They have no intention of ever policing, enforcing, or anything. This is the biggest ruse that the people of the state of Illinois have been subjected to since this stuff started back in March. The athletic directors and the school boards and the school superintendents, all they need to do is read the email that Mr. Anderson sent to my superintendent. Says we don't have any authority.
It starts off here in a, quote, legal, end quote, sense. One could argue that we have no provision to offer this guidance to our membership during the summer. However, our IHSA board of directors has approved of these guidelines to help support the safe return of activities for our membership. Between you and I, what we are providing our member schools is, quote, guidance, end quote. We have no intention to police individual schools for violations of our guidance and enforce penalties for noncompliance. And then it says, I think it's been well documented that we are receiving approval of our guidance from government offices like IDPH and the governor's office to adhere to state guidelines as we prepare a safe return to activities. So, you know, I think
read
that
the
it's...
Last sentence.
I'll finish. I'll finish the email here. Generally, I think schools are welcoming of some guidance from our association to create some common expectations for how we return safely. Unfortunately, I do not have a citation to state our authority in this case. This is an unprecedented time where we are simply trying to support our membership. Let me know if you have additional questions. You know, I'll say this, Thomas. I will agree with Mr. Anderson here with the IHSA that this is unprecedented. And I will say that if, you know, the IHSA could be very well so acting in good faith, but acting in good faith doesn't necessarily mean that a challenge isn't warranted. That if the IHSA is trying to do the best thing for the student athletes, I understand that, but I would assume that the parents and the students themselves should have some say in what is best for them.
But here, I would add this to you. Here's where I would quibble with you a little bit. The initial plan that was put out was prepared, promoted, and recommended by the Committee of Sports Health Medicine. It was sent to the full board of the IHSA for approval. I say good faith may have occurred there, regardless of whether they had any legal authority. But if you look at the emails, it started with Dr. Ezeke sending an email to the governor, and then the governor, some fashion, gets a hold of his deputy governor. His deputy governor sends these mandates that you have to do to the executive director, Anderson. Those three new mandates. From that point on, Mr. Anderson doesn't take those back to the Committee of Sports Medicine. He doesn't take it to the full board. He merely promulgates them in an email and shoots those out to all of the members without going through the process of the rules of the IHSA, let alone whether they had the authority. And that's a separate question. Those new mandates of that making children wear a mask while they're engaged in activities like that, which I'm told is dangerous, that never happened. So I would say bad faith or good faith stops when Mr. Anderson failed to take those mandates of the governor and the IDPH back to the committee and the IHSA. I that was grossly improper.
So you'll be filing this complaint this afternoon, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm about done with it.
Okay, well, we're going to stick around and watch how this unfolds, because I know that there are a lot of people who want the best for everybody. Everybody wants their child to be safe. They want the other kids to be safe, whether it's on your team or the other team. But if there are just intimidating orders coming down from the governor's office and the authority is not there for the IHSA to enforce these things, to their own admission. I think that maybe this needs to be handled on a more local level, and we'll see how it unfolds. Thomas, thank you so much. Stay in touch with us because we want to know how this goes.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a good day.
Yep, you too as well. You can follow Thomas DeVore on Facebook. I think you have to like friend him, which is fine. And you can see what he's doing next. And he reached out to me on Friday to tell me something was coming, and I was excited to bring that to you because over the course of the weekend, it was kind of shocking to me. I guess it's mid-July. It's about time that fall sports start coming back into action. And some majorly concerned parents about this issue. If you want to weigh in, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. We could take some phone calls when we come back on this issue. Do you think that students, athletes should be wearing masks while they play sports? We're talking about playing volleyball inside with a mask on. That just seems crazy to me. And if you were listening in the 12 o'clock hour, we asked Dr. Scott Hardiman about this, and he's like, as soon as your mask becomes wet, it's ineffective. Well, yeah, I remember playing. I was a four-sport athlete in high school, and there was sweat involved. So call us, 314-241-9797, and stick around in the 2 o'clock hour. At the beginning of the 2 o'clock hour, the Missouri Attorney General, Eric Schmidt, is going to join us, and he's going to talk about the McCloskeys. Man, the McCloskeys, doesn't that sound like a Netflix show now? Mm-hmm. Like, couldn't mm-hmm. it be its own Netflix show? Ryan's frozen again.
I'm still here.
Possibly disinterested in what we were talking about. He's like, womp, womp.
Oh, the McCloskeys, huh? Well, as long as it's not again. Like a period piece.
Yeah, okay. Like time travel and Scottish people, I'd watch that show. Oh, wait, there you do.
Of course you would.
We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Since Dave Glover just brought up Ding Dongs, I have to tell this story because I adore this story. We had a family reunion golf scramble a few weeks ago, and in an effort to keep everything, I don't know if I told the story on the air, but if I did, I'm telling it again. In order to keep everything as sanitary, usually it's a potluck of sorts. Everybody brings something. My husband and I decided we'll just get some food and dish it out, and we got... For dessert, we got, well, it's because we walked into Sam's and there's this gigantic box of Twinkies and Ding Dongs that were in a patriotic little display. And the Ding Dongs were white Ding Dongs, white cake with white icing, which tasted like zebra cakes.
Yum.
Maybe my favorite thing ever is like a zebra cake or the Christmas tree cakes and whatever. And just to explain how not much my daughter has Hostess treats at all. We had come home, we had a whole bunch left over, but you know, you could hand them out, they're all individually wrapped and everything. So we took home what we had that was left over, and she came up to me afterwards, and like I said, we had bought Twinkies and Ding Dongs, and she's like, do you think that we could maybe have some Dinky Donkeys?
No!
So now we call them Dinkies and Donkeys.
Yes!
And we still have Dinkies, we have no Donkeys left, but I just love that. That's better than Ding Dongs and Twinkies.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Dinky Donkey sounds way better than a Ding Dong.
I bet you could go for some Dinky Donkeys right now.
Oh, my gosh. I would just shove them into my face with boxing gloves.
Not even eating them. Just let them slide down.
I don't even care. Just let them sit there. Oh, my gosh. The next hour of the show would be insane. I guarantee you.
Yeah. Yeah. If you load it up and then... Well, we need to do that in the noon hour so that we can get the benefit of the high in the 1 o'clock hour and the crash in the 2 o'clock hour.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The crash would be just as fun for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you'd the be phases.
Like, post it up on your microphone, just drooling.
Yeah, if you hear this,
then you know.
Then you know I'm having a sugar down.
Dinky donkey.
Dinky donkeys.
So, give me my dinky donkeys.
Yeah, exactly. If you missed it, we just spoke with attorney Thomas DeVore. He is the attorney that represented Darren Bailey in his lawsuit against the extension of the emergency orders that Governor Pritzker put into place past that 30-day limit. And Thomas DeVore and Darren Bailey won. And now he's setting his sights on the IHSA because the IHSA is putting in some significant restrictions on student athletes, mandating mask wearing and limiting capacity significantly. And the question is, does the IHSA have the authority to do this? Thomas DeVore is challenging that. If you would like to call the show and weigh in on this issue, we'd love to have you. 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Let's start with Melissa. Melissa, thank you for calling the show. What do you think?
Hi, Annie. I just have to say, I don't know what is going on in Missouri, but I just was listening to Mr. DeVore talk about what's happening with Illinois sports. I'm a teacher. I'm a high school teacher. I'm a high school soccer coach, and then I also wait tables. And I have been wearing a mask in this heat, waiting tables this summer, since things opened up at the beginning of June. And it is really hard. I cannot imagine, for instance, soccer players running around with masks on. And to me, the first thing that comes to my mind is that would just be worse for them. Why would they not just cancel the season? How is it better to have them? I feel like you're going to have kids literally passing out.
Yeah,
I'm not running around. I'm walking fast, and I'm explaining the specials to people. I'm out on the patio. It's very hot, and you can barely breathe. Mm-hmm. So I just don't understand how this makes any sense.
Thank you, Melissa, for the phone call. I appreciate it. And I know a lot of people who are kind of along that same sentiment that are having to wear masks and saying that, it's a difficult thing to do in the heat to begin with. And then you ask people to perform at a high level. It's going to be tough. And I've had that thought too, Melissa, like if this is the, and we spoke with Dr. Scott Hardiman in the first hour, and we always ask him all these coronavirus questions. And I asked him about this specifically. In his medical opinion, he's like, at what point is what you're doing actually to mitigate the spread of the disease? And at what point is it something to do? Because if the mask isn't fitting your face snugly, if it is causing you to, or if you're sweating onto it and it's getting wet, it becomes useless. I hesitate to say that maybe it would be better to just cancel the season, but I that would just be tragic again for those kids who lost their spring seasons, their baseball seasons, their soccer plays in the spring, mm-hmm. and softball and just track, I guess, as well. So I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. And I'm here to say, too, I want to add this in, regarding the IHSA and their decision to do this, they, along with everybody else, are having to make some really tough decisions. They're having to put out some regulations that are going to upset people no matter what. If they were to say that you weren't allowed to wear masks, it was illegal equipment, and I've been an IHSA official for a long time, that your equipment is definitely regulated. If they were to say that masks are illegal, then people are going to be ticked about that too. So they are facing a difficult decision here. But if people want to challenge this, they need to know who to challenge to begin with. And if the IHSA is taking its marching orders from the IDPH and the governor's office, then that's where the attention needs to go. Let's get Sean on the line here. Sean, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show.
Hi, Annie. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I wanted to ask, and just kind of exactly what you were just talking about with people knowing who they need to challenge. But I guess my question is similar to that, and that's, what can we do to challenge? Because you hear a lot about, local, state, federal governments really just coming out and trying to enforce rules that they might not have the authority to enforce.
Yeah.
And I know that my high school sports meant a lot to me. I was a swimmer, but I doubt that's going to happen anytime soon.
yeah.
But it's like, I guess the question is just, what can the average guy or girl or whatever, do to try and stand up and help fight this fight?
Well, I would connect with Thomas DeVore, and that's one thing. And you can find him on Facebook. His last name is spelled DeVore. I would ask you to join Illinois Rising. It's a Facebook group that I've created that I'm going to stay on this issue specifically because I definitely want to know. I played sports and have been an IHSA official for some time. I'm very interested in how this is going to unfold. I think that you need to right now. The biggest advice I would have right now is be on record and get correspondence, email written correspondence to the athletic director or to the administration at your school and find out what their stance is. Because maybe it's possible that your athletic director or your administration and you might be on the same side. And, you know, maybe that will make a difference. It could be the case that the IHSA says, okay, everybody do whatever they want. And then the school mandates that you have to wear a mask. And then, you know, I don't know where that fight goes. But sure. I would say being vigilant. I appreciate you listening to the show because I want to continue to bring these issues to the forefront where, because you are the most important thing, Sean. People like you who, you know, you call yourself an everyday citizen. You getting involved is when things start changing. There are people making, lawyers making noise all the time. There are politicians making noise all the time. A really, really scary thing for the people who are in charge and making decisions on a daily basis is when the Seans and the Melissas of the world decide, no, I'm going to stand up to this and I'm going to have my voice be heard. So I would say stay connected to this show because I'm going to follow up with Thomas after he gets his complaint filed. We might have him on later on in the week to see what kind of progress he's had. But I want to make sure that I give people just like you action items that if you want to take some sort of action that you have that guidance.
Wonderful. And what was that the group you had mentioned you created again?
Illinois Rising. So if you go on to the Annie Fry Show Facebook page, Illinois Rising is attached there, but you should just be able to put in the search bar in Facebook, Illinois Rising. Just ask to join that. We've got almost 7,500 people who it is specifically catered to saving Illinois from the corruption that exists and the economic crisis that we are careening towards. And we've gotten petition signings put together. We are supporting candidates that are going to change the state if they get elected. And there's a lot of good stuff happening there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you guys so much.
John, thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. I know that there are a lot of people that are very frustrated today, more frustrated than they've ever been, and they're saying, what can I do to help? Like, what can I do to cause some change? That's a pretty exciting thing for me. That's a pretty exciting thing to hear because, you know, I can yap on about it all day long, but if it's just me yapping, nothing's going to change. It's when you guys decide to stand up. I'm happy to follow you, lead you, support you, whatever you need me to do. I'm here for it. Illinois Rising is a great place to be, too. Go join us there. When we come back, Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt on the McCloskeys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.